name of the Lord. Where you are seated, I'd like you to bow down your head and talk to the Lord this morning and say, God, like never before, you will increase my understanding. You will increase me. You will bring your word to me like never before. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we are praying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to thank God this morning for this handsome privilege to be gathered in His presence again. It's the gift of God that we are here. It's the favor of God. It's the mercies of God that we are not consumed. For the enemy, they don't want us here. They don't want us hale and healthy. I'd like you to wave your hands to the Lord for His protection. Hallelujah. A lot of things are happening, but glory to the Lord that the Lord is being faithful unto us. Now we'll continue this morning. We've been on a series titled Grace is the Cure for Sin. Say that after me. Grace is the cure. By now, some of you should be able to teach this message. By now, I think we have stayed so long on this, and I don't know why the Holy Spirit keep bringing this to me. He keep expounding this message unto me. I believe this message is to bring somebody back to his or her feet in Christ. Shout hallelujah. Grace is the cure for sin. And I'm going to do a brief recap of where we started from, the ones I can remember so far. We began to see that grace is not an audacity to sin without an apology. Today people commit sin and say, the grace of God is there for me. Grace is the reason you should not sin. Grace is not the reason you should stay or continue in sin. Apostle Paul, speaking in Romans chapter 6, he said, you cannot remain in sin and expect grace to abide or continue in your life. And so all kind of teachings today all around the world, people twisting the message. As we saw yesterday in Bible study, he says Satan will have crept into the church. Who twists the message of grace? Let's quickly go there for those of us who were not around yesterday, so that we can all be on the same page this morning. Jude chapter 1, quickly. I just want to, lay a few emphasis before we continue. Shout hallelujah. Jude chapter 1, if you can give me up there, I will appreciate. Jude chapter 1 from verse 4, quickly. Very important. For there are, what's happening? Okay, let me read from here. I say this because some godless teachers have wormed their way in among you, saying that after we become Christian, we can do just as we like without fear of God's punishment. The fate of such people was written long ago, for they have turned against our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Like it in the King James Version. Look up, everybody. Very important. There are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Their condemnation was predicted. The Bible spoke about them. Apostle Paul warned us about them. Peter warned us about them. He says, certain men. Now, there is the early age of this church, and there is the last age. We are in the last age of the church. These men, some of them came in the early age of the church. In fact, Christianity, when the Roman Empire came, they turned, this Bible was once hidden, that no one has access to it except the Roman Catholic priests. So those men came then, and the Bible spoke of them. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 says, in the last day there shall be perilous time. Speaking about our time, this generation, we have to be very careful. I like you to follow. He said, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Ungodly men. Now look at this, please. turning the grace of our God into lavishness. This version brought only read yesterday. It twists, they twist the grace of God. They turn the grace of God into ungodly men, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying the only Lord God. Give me Titus chapter 3 and from verse 11. I want you to see something. Titus 3 verse 11. Very important. Knowing that he that is such, give me from verse 9. Give me from verse 9. Give me 2:9. Give me 2:9. Titus 2:9. Now go to 11. 2:11. Now look at it, everybody. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. What is the grace of God teaching us? Let's see verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Shout hallelujah. Now, he said, but certain men will come. They will twist this message. What the grace of God teaching us. Now, like I told you, grace is a person. Grace is personified, and the person is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us. Grace is not an excuse to remain in your sin. Grace is not an excuse to keep messing up in the name of grace and misbehaving. I told you last week, before I got born again, 20 years now down the journey, to lie is the easiest thing for me. I can lie. It just flows. It just comes. I don't need to plan it. I can talk you into believing any. I just open my mouth and I just start lying. The same me, after I got born again, it became difficult for me. I told you of an experience I had with my boss. Who was he? And so in the office, when one of those ladies started stopping him, he would just say, tell her I'm not around. You know, it was before. I would be the one to say, Oga, bring the phone. I would know what to tell her. I will help him lie his way out of it. And so, after I got born again, what was an effortless thing for me became difficult. Say the grace of God. Come on, say, Lord, say the grace of God. If there's an habit in your life that you were addicted to before, and by the grace of God, the Lord broke it in your life, it isn't your effort. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, for we are of the circumcision of the Spirit. We are of the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit, that have no confidence in the flesh. And that was why Apostle Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am by the grace of God. Grace is the reason we reign over sin. It's not the reason sin reign over us. And so, grace is not an excuse to mess up. It is the reason to live up to what God is expecting you. And so, my boss gave me the phone. He said, tell her I'm not around. He's my boss. I said, sir, I don't lie. He looked at me. I said, yes, I don't lie. And so, he took the phone and gave it to another person in my presence. You know, that day I just remembered that me. It is the grace of God. Apostle Paul said, I am not even fit to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church. But I am what I am by the grace of God. Amazing grace has treated. Sing it like somebody who has the grace of God. A wretch like me. Oh yeah. I was, but now I'm found. But now I'm found. Was but now. Listen, almost a year after I got born again, a friend of mine who's in America now was passing by and he saw me preaching. He said he could not believe his eyes. That if this man can preach, then my life can change. It isn't my message that will change him. That he saw me preaching. He was asking himself, what am I waiting for? If this life can change, the grace of God. When people read 2 Peter chapter 12 from verse 8, he said three times, 2 Corinthians rather, 12 from verse 8, he said three times I besought him to take this turn. We don't know the turn. Maybe it's an habit in the life of Paul. We don't know the turn in his life. He said three times. No, some scholars, he actually had it's epileptic, but we don't know. It could be anything. It could be an habit that he's trying to break. He said, but he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. And now, why are we teaching this? So that men will not be using the grace of God as an excuse to remain. Look at what is happening in church today. Somebody will come to the church, a pastor come to church and say, you see, I just committed adultery, and you know, I'm a man, you can condemn me, you can say anything, but I know the grace of God is there for me. What are you saying? I was saying yesterday in Bible study, when I got born again, it's a shameful thing. What we now celebrate. You see everywhere on the internet, pastor, this one, pastor, that pastor slept with this, that one pastor. You know, it now become a pastor or scandal. It should be a shameful thing. What we now celebrate in the church in the name of grace. You see, when this grace thing started, when these ungodly men took the message from the church, the product is what we. And that's why we're teaching you to know exactly. Grace is the character of Christ. Praise God. Are you learning something this morning? Teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust. We should live soberly. Now listen. Grace is the key for sin. Let me tell your neighbor, sin is no more your problem. It's no more. Sin was taken care of. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Jesus speaking. The writer of Matthew speaking, he said, you shall give birth to a son. Message unto Mary through Gabriel. You shall call his name Jesus. We save his people from their sins. So Jesus took care of sin. I want to show you a scripture this morning. Very important. Before we go on. 1 Peter chapter 2. Give me from verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 22. Give it to me. 1 Peter 2:22. Brotherly leader. Now, look up. This is very, very key. Very key. Who did no sin, neither was guilt found in his mouth. Who is that? To me, who is that? He did. Only the only man who came on earth and did not commit one sin. That was the reason he was even qualified to die for sin. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 21. He made he who had no sin to become sin. He didn't commit sin. He was sin. Can identify with us as, and so that he can die for sin. Now look at it. Who did no sin? Neither was guilt or guilt found in his mouth. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he trembled not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Yes, let's go. Who in his own self bear. Oh, I love this. I love this. Let's all read it. One, two, go. Which day? He bore our sin. Say our sin. Now, including you. Eternity past, present, and future. Jesus took care of sin. That was why men who came before the cross made it to heaven. Because they believed in a Messiah that should come. Because anyone, how many of you remember that the day Jesus resurrected, people saw Moses and Abraham. You know they came before the cross and they died before the cross. But they heard of this prophecy. In fact, Moses said, prophesied to them in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. He said, for among you shall a prophet rise, and whosoever that does not believe in him shall perish. Now, the believing in him was that they even believed him before he came. I said yesterday in Bible study, he said, there will be surprises in heaven. There are people whose name were not mentioned in the Bible. You will see them in heaven. They were not popular people. But because of what Jesus did, he bore our sin. He bare our sin in his own body on the tree. On the tree, you all know he's talking about the cross. That we, being dead to sins, you were once dead in sin. When you were not born again, let me show you. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. Ephesians 2, Holy Spirit, help me this morning. Help me, Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2. And you had he quickened who were dead and sins. That is you before you got born again. You had no option but to sin. A dead man cannot do anything. If you slap a dead man, can the dead man say, why did you slap me? I say, why are you dealing with me like a dead man? You were dead in trespasses and sin. You had no option. You just have to remain in it. That's what sin was before you got born again. Now, if you look at that first, is it Second Peter now? Where were? Take me back to where we were before. He said, now you were dead. You are now dead. Go back. Give it to me. Oh yeah, give me verse 24. Verse 24. For ye who in his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Shout hallelujah. Do you know why the healing followed naturally? You know why? The reason diseases came into the world was because of sin. So when sin was taken care of, automatically his instruments are broken. Bible says he swallowed up victory. Why? Sin was dealt with. Because it was sin that brought death. The wages of sin is death. And so when sin is taken away, wages. And that's why I'm double sure no one here, no one in this ministry will die untimely death. If you are saying amen, let your amen be the loudest. You will fulfill destiny. I say it again with the audacity, this understanding. I say you will fulfill destiny. Jesus died, fulfilled. He said, no one took my life. I laid it down. He said, I have the power to take it up. And that was why on the third day when he rose, the whole place shook. Heaven was not surprised. Men on earth were surprised on the third day. Even Peter could not believe Jesus has risen. He took Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus to where they went. Not that they wanted to go and check if he has risen. They took oil to go and rub on the dead body. And when they got there, they saw an angel. They said, why do you seek the living? I love this song. He's alive. He's alive. Come on, sing with me. Jesus is. Hey! Now, how many people shout hallelujah? He's alive. It doesn't matter what you are going through. I want you to be conscious of his presence. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I will never leave you. Listen to me. When you are alone, when you lost your job, he's alive with you. When you are going through that or the challenges that you tell anybody, give me a better microphone. Must I tell you this? Holy Spirit, help me. You know I don't like distraction. This is distracting me, the way it's sounding. He's alive. I was telling them, you know, I enjoyed the evangelism we did last Sunday. I said, the only founder of a faith that said, I am coming back, was Jesus. No any other person. Muhammad, when they asked him, he said, even him didn't know where he's going. The person that didn't know where he's going he doesn't even know where he's going. The Buddhist religion, when they ask him what is the way, he said, even him does not know the way. Only Jesus said, I am. He didn't say, I will show you the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That was what one brother heard those days in Zamfara. Their Arabic teacher did not come. They usually offer two religious subjects, even though they don't know that Christianity is not a religion. You know, they taught us in primary school. How many religions do you have in Nigeria? Chris, and we all shout three. We didn't know. So we were living like religious people because we were taught. This is a life. And the life came from Christ. It's not a religion. Religion existed before Christ. Yes, there were religions. There was Judaism before Christ came. Are you with me now? Jesus did not come to give us another religion. He came to give us life. That we got the life of God in us. And the life is right inside of you right now. See right now. Yeah, it's trapped in you for a moment, waiting for the sound of the trumpet. As soon as the trumpet sounds, it is that life that will lift you. The force that will lift you is inside of you right now. The life is trapped for a moment. As soon as Jesus sounds the trumpet, the life is what will lift you. In a twinkle of an eye, you will disappear. But anyone who does not have the life will remain here. And that's why we preach about telling people, receive the life. Greater works you shall do. What is the greater work? Dispensing eternal life through evangelism. Sharing eternal life. Tickets to heaven. Praise God. I feel like I'm deviating from my message this morning. Does it sound like that to you? I really want to stay on course, you know. We should live unto righteousness by whose stripes? Now, is that the last verse? Give me verse 25. Oh, I love this. For we were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, Jesus. Praise God. Now, I have a few things I'm going to share with us this morning. I hope time will permit me. Romans chapter 6 from verse 8, quickly. This is going to be a long read for us. We are going to take time to read all through. You know, I studied this scripture and I felt I should come and share with us. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 said, you were dead to sin. Abi, before you were born again, you were dead in sin. They are two different things. But now you are alive in Christ, you are dead to sin. Meaning, you should not naturally respond to sin. Yeah. A dead man does not have stimuli. Does not respond to stimuli. Are you with me now? Now look at me. Look up. Now if we be dead with Christ, I've told you, baptism is a symbol of our reality. When they say water baptism is a symbol of our position in Christ. Water baptism, when they dip you into water, they are telling you, you are dead. That's why they do it three times. The three times means 3 days. You are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a significance of the fact that you are now dead in Christ. When he rose, you rose in him. Are you getting that now? We believe that we shall live with him. Is he alive? Talk to me. Is he alive? If he's alive, you are alive. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. If death does not have dominion over him, it does not have dominion over you. Now, I'm going to tell you, death has two definitions. Death as separation from God.
Adam, if you eat this fruit, you will die. It wasn't extinction God was talking about. He was talking about separation. But along the line, when they were separated from God, extinction came in. Man was not created to even die in the first place. Yeah. Adam was created not to die. It was because separation from God came. So longevity was pulled away from man. Eternal life was removed from man. And so man, the first man, he lived very long before he died. Adam lived very long. In fact, one man lived close to 1,000 years. Methuselah. Shout hallelujah. And so death as separation and extinction. The two, you will not die. Now, believers, we don't say we die. We go to sleep in the Lord. We change address. Yeah. And nobody is permitted to change address in this church until you are 150. If some of you can take approval, we can give you 200. You we change address. Hallelujah. Because this is not our home. You know, I love this song. Sionio Iluayo Jerusalem. Come on, sing it with me. No, hold it. That's where I want to correct. The day you got Christ was the day you enter into Zion. The Bible says in Hebrew chapter 10, chapter 12, it says, for we have come unto Mount Zion. We are not coming, we have come. When Obadiah said, on Mount Zion there shall, it's a prophecy of our generation. There shall be holiness. And what is holiness? Holiness means separation. Certain people will be separated unto the Lord. I've taught you before. Holiness means separated. And do you know in the Old Testament, plates were called holies. Holy utensils. You didn't read that? The plates that were used in the temple, they were called holy. Why? Separated for the use of the Lord. So when we say, ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, is talking about separation. And it is that status that now bears in you the fruit of holiness. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are holy, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So death as separation. No more death. We will no more be separated from God forever. No more separation. Forever. And this is my joy. We don't rejoice because there's money in our account. It's not the reason we are happy. It's not because we have a car. It's not because we live in a fine house. We rejoice. Because we know we are forever joined together with him. He said, don't you know he that is joined together with an harlot is one body with him? And so he that is joined together with the Spirit of God is one spirit with him. And so we are one spirit with the Lord forever. For how long? Forever. And so we just change address, leave this body and enter into another body. There is a body apart from this body. He said, even our body cannot wait. Romans chapter 8, our body groaneth, that our address will change on time. When your address changes, you will have what we call the glorified body. Say the glorified body. Yeah. Let me not go into that. Some of you now, you know, you feel like going into heaven immediately. You still have assignment here. Now listen, death had no more dominion over him. Let's go. It's a long read. For in that he died, he died unto sin. How many times? Once. Remember when he was on the cross, the sin of the world was put upon him and he died to sin. But in that he lived unto God. Let's go. Let's go. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead. He said, count yourself too. The way Jesus died to sin, you too see yourself in that light. He said, count yourself and receive it the same way. Also yourself to be dead. I want to show you. You know, I'm having issue with King James lately. Yeah. I'm going to read from here. Just leave that scripture. Leave it there. Are you blessed this morning? Verse 11. It says, so, look upon your old sin nature as dead and unresponsive to sin. Mindset. This is what we call Christ consciousness, not sin consciousness. Now, instead, be alive to God, alert to Him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not let sin control your body. Verse 12. Give me verse 12. I want you to see it in the King James Version. Let not. Tell your neighbor you have a responsibility. Anywhere you see let not, there's something expected from you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not. Resist sin. Make no provision. Give me Romans 13 and verse 14. We are coming back here. Romans 13. Let not sin. Romans 13 and verse 14. Quickly. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he say put ye, meaning put on the consciousness of Christ. Look up. And take not provision, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make no, you can make provision even though you are born again. You can make provision. You can make occasion for sin. You know you used to be a drunkard before you got born again. Now your friend now invites you to a party. They now put stout, chilled one, sweating like this on the table. That's provision. Say provision. What are you supposed to do? Flee. I love that language. Flee. You see, you know this is, your friends are very funny. When you say, I don't take it's Maltina, they will say, guy, why are you doing like this? You see the advert they put on they put things that make you, they say big boss, honorable, senator. They make it look like it's responsible to do it. And so when you see that, the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. Now, naturally, because you still carry this flesh, you still want to sin because of this body. Your spirit is sanctified. The day you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you received eternal life. Your spirit was transformed. Your mind is still the same. Yeah. And that's why the Bible is speaking in Romans chapter 12. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Your mind. But your spirit, as you are now, you have the spirit of Christ. You are sanctified. You are holy. Separated. But this body, that's why this body must be changed. It must be changed. And so when you see bottle of stout sweating, make no, stand up. To sit down and say nothing will happen. Why many believers fall all the time? You have confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3 and verse 3. We are of the circumcision of the spirit. We are of the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, that puts no confidence in the flesh. We make no provision. We don't give him an opportunity. You have issue with women, and now you are married and a lady is misbehaving around you. Stand up. The Bible says flee. You don't speak in tongues in such occasion. The remedy is leave the scenario. Make no provision. He said nothing will happen. You are deceiving yourself. That's not the prescription the Bible gave. Use the right, if you use the wrong the prescription for a particular drug, for a particular ailment, you won't get healed. And so speaking in tongues in such environment will make you get so easy to be gotten. You know, those days when we were in school, why many brothers fell was because they don't know the right prescription. Make no provisions. I like to read it. You have the Amplified version of the Bible. I like to read it in another version. I want you to get this very clear. Very important. Say this is key. Romans 13. But I'm reading the NLT. But ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you live as you should. And don't make plans to enjoy evil. Don't make provision. Don't watch pornography. No, make provision for the sin. Anything the flesh desire, don't make provision for it. You know you have issue with your temper. You get angry so easily. I've told you, all of your anger combined together before was not up to mine. But when I saw what this anger, I didn't go into relationship because I knew I would destroy it by myself. Until I walk, I say I know, I knew it. I didn't need a prophet to tell me that with this I was born again, but I had issue with anger. I said I won't start a relationship that I will destroy by myself. I knew, even if it was God's provision for me, I knew the way I used to get angry. Even after I started a relationship, it was God. My wife was working in bank in Lagos, me banker in Kano. So I will compare my banking of Kano to Lagos. Hello, where are you? Can't you call me? Why she's in the traffic? Me, I'm already sleeping. I wake up at night. Say, I called you around 6. You didn't pick my call. It's about 9 now. And you didn't call me back. You know, I have a friend then that was married. He said, calm down, calm down. Not until I went to Lagos, I began to forgive myself. Praise God. When your wife is talking, leave. Don't make provision. There's time to correct her. It's not every time you talk back to people. It's not every time you want to answer immediately. You know your kind of temper. Keep quiet. Hello, when you are angry, don't talk. Because you talk nonsense. Don't make any environment. We all know our weaknesses. I've said something before. I said one of the proof of power as a believer is knowing your weakness and acknowledging your weakness. You are a strong person. There's no human being on earth as far as you are a human being. In fact, the meaning, the word human means species that are prone to error. That's the meaning of human. Human, prone to mistakes. And because you still carry this body, you're a human being. You know your temper. So when somebody is getting you angry, and I've been praying to God about traffic in Ibadan. Say, God help me. If somebody will just want to make you talk in Ibadan, even though they are wrong. Hallelujah. Are you learning something this morning? Now let's go back to Romans chapter 6. Very important. I really pray I'll be able to, you know, bring to a close this teaching. You know, we've been on this over a month now. Yeah. Interesting, right? Yeah. I'd like to see the fruits in your life. Not just that it's interesting. It will be more interesting when it becomes applicable in your life. Hallelujah. Go to verse 12. So you too therefore, do not, you have a responsibility, don't allow it, you are dead to sin. Listen to me, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, but it can reign in your spirit, mortal body. Yeah, but listen, oh glory to God, glory, scripture just came into my spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, when the mortality shall be swallowed up by immortality. When we leave this body and enter another body, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me. Jesus must be honored. He must be honored. Must be. Jesus in my life every day. Don't let sin. You know, when you let sin reign, you bring insult to Jesus. People ask, you mean you are a believer? When people start asking you that question, you have allowed sin reign. So that you obey its desires. Don't let it reign. That you obey its desires. Sin is a spirit. Death is a spirit. The devil is a spirit. Do you know what Jesus did to the three of them? He disarmed them. He stripped them. Sin was destroyed. death was destroyed. Their Baba, who introduced them in the Garden of Eden, the Lord dethroned him. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 2 from verse 15, he took everything that was contrary to us. That is the law. Number one, he fulfilled the law by dying on the cross. He satisfied the demand of the law. And so he disarmed what the devil was using. The devil was using the law to hack man. These three agents would have destroyed the whole humanity if Jesus did not come. Sin, the devil, and death. They have the instrument of the law to hack down any human being. Even Moses, who brought the law, they hacked him down. They didn't allow him to see the promised land. And so Jesus came and fulfilled. When he said on the cross, "It is finished. I have accomplished the demand of the law, that whosoever sins will die." And now I'm dying. Please come to Bible study. There are things those who are in Bible study understand what I'm saying. There are things I will just say, but I've made analysis before. Now, so that you obey his desires. Give me verse 13. We are going very far with this. And do not offer any part of it. Now, the King James Version says, don't offer any members of your body, not even your eye. You see a sister walking by. She wants to urinate. What are you supposed to do? Turn your eyes. It's not every movie you should watch. I am 18 years old. That's the world standard. Grace does not cover. Say adult, 18 plus. It's not every movie you should watch. Don't yield your eyes. Don't yield your heart. Members of your body. He said, neither yield ye members of your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from death. Say, I am alive. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, like I said it, I think some 3 weeks ago, now some of you think pastors don't see temptation. Yeah. The kind of temptation we see is even more than yours. You know, some people, some ladies, their target is pastor. Say, I want to check his anointing. I want to check his level. And so, how do you respond? You respond by saying, I am a slave of righteousness. I am not a slave of sin. No one can have two masters. It's either sin is your master. You know, you can be born again and you are still allowing sin. Though that's not who you are. And that is called hypocrisy. Doing who you are not. You are a child of God. As though that are alive from there. Give me verse 14. Make it fast. For sin. Oh, this is it. This is it. Everybody, let's read this. One, two, go. For sin. Now, what the scripture is saying, any ground sin has in you, you gave it. It is not its dominion. It is the platform you gave it. If there's an area in your life where sin is still manipulating you, it is with the area you yielded to sin. Before the cross, sin had dominion over people. They could not but sin. Even though they had the law written everywhere, they see the law, the Ten Commandments. Yet, because it had dominion, because they were under the law. And the law is the strength of sin. I've taught you that before. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 56. The law is the strength of sin. The law exposes, amplifies the capacity to sin. You see, but for you, you are not under the law. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we are the sons of God, we don't follow any law. We follow the Spirit. And you know, there are things that are not written in the law, and yet the Holy Ghost will tell you that is wrong. But in the Ten Commandments, you won't see it. And so he speaks to you every time. We are led by the Spirit of God, teaching us to deny ungodliness. How many of you have finished a conversation? After that conversation, the Holy Ghost will call, remind you. You didn't even know you were lying. When you were speaking, the Holy Ghost would not say, do you know what you tell so person? It was a lie. You don't say, okay, it's true. It wasn't. The law can't do that. He called it, the Bible called that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, the commandment, the ministry of death. He said, but we have another ministry, the ministry of life, which is the Holy Ghost, leading us, directing us. So enjoy yourself in the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, enjoy yourself in the Holy Ghost. This is what I tell people. When I go around campuses and say, look, grace has been given that sin will not have dominion over you. I'm enjoying the grace of God every day. I have peace in my mind. I'm not perturbed, I'm not troubled because of the grace of God. Shout hallelujah. Now give me verse 15, very important. What then shall we sin? Now the question is this. Now that we say, since you know we don't have dominion, what then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law. But this is a question we should be asking our generation. Now, because of grace, now should we now continue to sin? Because our salvation is perfected, now should we now remain in sin? Because we are not, there's no law again like they had in the Old Testament. No law. We only have the Spirit of God guiding us. Should we then now say, okay, this is an opportunity to continue in our sin? Say no. Say God forbid. Now, verse 16. Very quick, please. Know ye not that not that to whom ye yield, it's now your choice. Yeah. That's what he said. It's not about grace now. He said, I know the grace of God will help me. You went and sleep in a sister's house. He's not your wife. Say, I know the grace on the same bed. Grace will not help you. You're on your own. Yeah. If anything happens, you're on your own. Say, I know grace. Grace will help me. No. Let me see. This is what grace offers. Know ye not that for whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom. Give me this ye whom. Give me another version. I'm not familiar with. Before, my English was corrupted by this King James English. I can't speak and not say ye. Yeah. But thank God now. Do you not know that if you offer yourself to someone as obedient slave, loyal, so you are slave of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Praise God. Yeah. Obedience. Now basically, obedience is the reason the Bible says one was obedient unto death, and through him we came into the righteousness of God. It's the same obedience. And that's why knowledge is key. Tell your neighbor, say knowledge is key. But many people are innocently wrong because they don't know. Where you are not thoroughly taught, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 15, he said, from thy childhood thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. He said, for the Scripture is profitable unto doctrine, correction, rebuke, and perfecting the man of God unto righteousness. The Scripture. But where the Scripture is taught, is not thoroughly taught. As a born-again child of God, you'll still be messing up. I've told you before. Some of the people we grew up with in our former church were wonderful people, talented, anointed people. But the world was not coming to us. What helped somebody like me was I just have this desire for knowledge early in my life. If it was what we're feeding on the pulpit, would have been dead by now. I'm telling you the truth. Wonderful people, but because the word was not coming, some of them had ground to marry three wives. They say, after all, David, God told Solomon, if you need another wife, you would have asked me. I mean, somebody posted it. One of them that I used to know posted it on Facebook, and one pastor said, there's nothing wrong having two wives. And he posted it, he said, discuss. Because that is his own, you know, philosophy. That as a born again child of God, another sister now asks and says, then what is adultery? Define adultery. Because what makes you leave your wife and look at another woman? That was why Jesus was giving them another, you know, standard when they went in Matthew chapter 5, went to meet Jesus. and say, can we divorce our wife when our wife misbehaved? And you know, he started giving them law, and they said, okay, we didn't commit. He said, no. He said, that law was given by Moses. He said, I am the word. And that was why in all the things Jesus was saying, he never said, thus says the Lord. He said, verily I say, because he himself was the word. He said, Moses knew your desire. He knows your tendencies. He knows your weakness. That was why he said you can divorce. He said, from the beginning it's not so. He said, now if you look at another woman and in your heart you undress her, you have committed adultery. So when you say polygamy or what do you call it now? It's scriptural. Then what when you left your wife and start looking at another woman, what happened? Grace covered that place. Praise God. And those of you who are going about, you know, there is something common now, they call it side chick. Whatever I didn't say, don't say it. If you are a child of God, you are doing that. You are bringing insults to the work of redemption. Insult. That's not who you are. What is side chick? What is side chick? A man. He said he obtained favor that finds a wife. That's the favor. God, if you like, go and look for another thing. But the one God has given you, he called it favor. The wife is God's favor. He said, let her breast satisfy you. It may not look satisfactory. Let it. She's your wife. Before you married her, it was satisfactory. When you first married her in honeymoon, now she has children. Let it satisfy you. Stay with your wife. I know many of you don't like this. And everything, we're quiet now. You don't like this. But that's the truth. You may not like it, I will tell you. That's the truth. That's my assignment. To tell you the truth. And you know, Apostle Paul speaking, he said, whatever you have not learned of us, don't do it. If we don't practice it, don't do it. Praise God. Now people say, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, a lot of things are happening, even in church now. Let me not go into that. Holy Spirit, help me with time. Leading to that, now give me verse 17. Holy Spirit, help me. But thank God that though you used to be slave, you used to be, when you were not born again, you used to be slaves to sin. You obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to. Yes. Verse 18. You are the one slowing me down. You know it. I shouldn't be telling you verse 18 before you go there. And having been liberated, say, I am liberated. Come on, say louder. Say, I am liberated. Yeah, you are. You are. But you have choice to use your liberty. You have choice. You can decide to say, today, you have got me somehow. No, you have choice. Now look up. He said, having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. Now, this righteousness was not the righteousness attained by the law. It was the righteousness obtained by the cross. Say, I am righteous. How are you righteous? You obtain it. How? Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8. For you were saved by grace through faith. So he said, let anyone boast. It is not of works. It is the gift of God. So you are righteous. So on that basis, live righteous. Right belief, right standing, right behavior. What is right belief? That you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He died to sin, you died to sin. He's alive in God, you are alive in God. What is right standing? Righteousness. Because of what he did for you, you obtain righteousness as a gift. Many people today, they don't believe they are righteous because they don't understand the kind of righteousness that we are talking about. They thought it's the righteousness they attain by morality. Listen, morality does not attain the righteousness of God. It is Jesus alone. He made him who had no sin that through him we become the righteous. If you will have to do anything to be righteous, it means what Jesus has done is not enough. we obtain righteousness. It's a gift. So on that basis, we bear the fruit. First, it is a gift. Then, we bear the fruit of righteousness. Do you make mistakes? Yes. Are you still righteous? Yes. Why? It is not attained. It is obtained. Do you get what I'm talking about this morning? I am using human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. But just as you will offer the part of your, as you offer the part of yourself as led to moral impurity, you can name them, and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. And that talks about godliness. For when you were slaves of sin, talking about when you were not born again, you were free from alliance to righteousness, meaning you were not loyal, you were not responsible unto righteousness, you are not a servant of righteousness. Yes. And that's what fruit was produced then from the things you were now ashamed of, for the end of those things is death. Yes, let's go. But now, since you have been liberated, I just love this word, liberated from sin and become slaved to God, and become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the end is eternal life. Now, let's go, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Now, this is where we like quoting. Most of us don't know that other part. You know, the wages of sin is death. If you sin, you will die. Do listen to me. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life, which is the grace of God, is the cure for sin. Praise God. That's the last verse, I think. Praise God. You see, I may not be able to continue, but you know, something important. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 9:26 quickly. Hebrews 9:26. Just two, three verses we look at. Hebrews chapter 9. Otherwise, we'll continue next week. Otherwise, he would have had to suffer many times since the foundation of the world. But now he had appeared one time at the end of the ages for the removal of sin. For what? Removal of sin. Did he remove the sin? Yeah. He removed the sin. By the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27. And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this judgment. Verse 28. So also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, and not to bear sin. Jesus is not coming back for sin. He has taken care of sin. He's not coming back to take care of sin again. And that was why the book, the writer of Hebrews said to the Jews, he said, there is no any other sacrifice that will be made. Don't wait. Some Jews in Jerusalem are still waiting for another Jesus. He said, no any other than the one that has been made. And if you did not subscribe, say subscribe. If you did not subscribe to this sacrifice, no any other sacrifice, you are going into damnation. He said, will appear second, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. How many of you are waiting? Now, what's salvation? Now, I'm going to start a teaching after this teaching on the past tense of salvation, the present tense of salvation, and the future tense of salvation. So that when you see salvation in the Bible, you will know what context or what use of salvation in that context of the Bible. He said, waiting and to bring salvation. Now, some of you will be like, are we not saved already? What's salvation again? There's a future tense of salvation. There's a past tense of salvation. You are saved already. But there's the salvation of the body. This body will be changed. That's the salvation he's talking about. Yeah. You will be clothed with another body. Those of you who have bad hair, your hair will come back. The real you will show up. The glorified. Matthew chapter 17, the glorified body was shown unto them. And when they saw the glorified body of Jesus, the body that cannot be stopped by war. And do you know in that body we will eat? Oh, glory to God. They will be eating in heaven. Some of you don't know. You think we will be spirits flying around in the space? No. They will be eating. Rise up to your feet. Are you blessed this morning? Thank God for his word. And say, God, I thank you for bringing your word to me this morning. Thank you for bringing your word alive in my spirit. Let your word grow. Let the knowledge of Christ increase on the inside of me. Are you praying that prayer? That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. See, handi vishukra the handa brahafi kustelida na hasidishuni klahandiba. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Give God praise.